You're listening to the Belly Dance Geek Clubhouse at bellydancegeek.com. Hi, everybody. I'm Nadira Jamal, and welcome to episode 33 of the Belly Dance Geek Clubhouse. The Clubhouse is a place where dancers can get together and geek out on all of those things that are hard to get in classes and on DVDs. If you want to get help with the what, things like technique or combinations or choreographies, it's very easy to find information. But if you want to learn about the why and the how, so things like culture, the music, professionalism, business, those things are a little bit harder to get. So every month I interview a different guest expert on a different topic, and we always have time for you to ask questions so you can geek out too. If you think that knowledge and creativity go together like chocolate and peanut butter, you are in the right place. My guest, Asala Ibrahim, is going to talk to us about Iraqi Kaulia dance. But before I begin, let me tell you a little bit about Asala. Asala is a native of Iraq who was surrounded by festival dance in her childhood. Asala gives us valuable information about traditional dance in Iraq, in particular Kaulia dance. Her research found that Kaulia dance is related to the ancient Ishtar and Inanna worshiping rituals. While recently it is less seen in Iraq due to the persecution of Kaulia people, it continues to gain popularity outside of the country, although in a new style. While appreciating this new style, Asala stresses the importance of knowledge of authentic style and its background. She continues to share her knowledge through workshops in various countries and also runs her own school in Switzerland. You can check her out at www.asale.ch. And let me spell that. That's E-L-A-S-S-A-L-E.ch. Thank you for joining me, Asala.
Thank you, Nadira, for having me today, and thank you very much for this nice introduction for me.
My pleasure. Can you tell us about your history as a dancer?
Well, to talk about my history as a dancer, maybe I have to mention two important things which influence my history a lot as a dancer. First thing is the city where I born and grown up is Basra City. It's a port city, and it's the only gate for Iraq to the Persian Gulf and other seas. So this city is very special through its location. So we have lots of traditional dances, and the traditional authentic dances are very important for the city. So you can find influences or the Gulf states in Basra, like the Samri dance. And you can have some African influences as well, like the Hewa dance. So I grown up watching and dancing all these traditional dances. So my passion was growing up since I was a child for this style of dances. The second thing, it's the work of my mother. So I was really lucky to... maybe that my mother have this job, because she was having her business for wedding, to making dresses and applying makeup for a bride. So I was companioned her when I was a child, and this world behind the walls in the Middle East, not only full of beauty, of course, full of other stories and some sad stories, but I can really watch all these dances, all this beauty of the music, because these women, when they come together, they dance to each other. And maybe you ask, when you ask some Arab dancer about their heroes in dance, so for sure you will hear Samia Gamal or Tahi Karioka or Naima Akif. Of course, I adore them and I respected them a lot. But for me as a child, it was these simple, beautiful women. They were my really heroes. And I was fascinating to look at the way where they, how they can dance, and the way they move, and the way they dress, and the color they put in their dresses. So these two facts are influenced me a lot as a dancer. That's why authentic dances are very important for me. And I learned as a child that simple people are the real school for dance. So even when I grow the interest for Egyptian dances, to be honest, I really learn only from the simple people there in the countryside, because I know they still have the purity in the move, the wisdom in the body. But of course, this alone will not make out of you a professional dancer or a good teacher. So I have to make further education in Oriental dance. And I wanted really to present this authentic move in a professional way. So I learn, I make some training in yoga, Pilates, and breathing technique, etc.
Mm-hmm. And how did you become a professional dancer?
Well, it's a long story, of course. You cannot really be from one day to another a professional dancer. I start really dancing very early. And when I come to Switzerland in 1993, because of the language, it was a barrier for me. And I wanted to express myself. I wanted to express this heritage, this richness of my culture. So I love dancing. So I really focus on learning the dance. And it was just in the language school, we have a party and I start dancing in Switzerland. And some ladies who visiting the belly dance courses, they were say, oh, wow, you can dance. Why not you are teaching us? And I was thinking, teaching? No. I am not a teacher. But, you know, this is the way it was starting really to teach. And my journey of searching in dance started not only for myself like before or my friends when I was in Iraq.
Mm-hmm. And my understanding is that that's not a very popular career choice in most Arab families. Did you have difficulty with that?
Yes, a lot, really. Although my family are quite open-minded and, you know, my brothers, they are professor on the universities and they see that boys and girls sit together in the university, but they still cannot understand why a girl who study in the university and make a degree in education and she can be a secondary school teacher choosing this way. So at the beginning, there was kind of really boycott. So especially the brothers, you know, they have it very difficult to accept. My sisters, at the beginning, they didn't take me seriously. They said maybe it's just crazy time or maybe it's homesick she has. That's why she chose this way. But now I think more or less they accept it. But to be honest, they never attend any of my performances.
So our topic for today is Kaulia dance. And I know that many of my listeners have seen this word on the internet, but I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about it. Can you tell us what the word Kaulia means?
First of all, the word Kaulia is the word for the people and not for the dance. So in Arabic, when we describe the adjective for dance, either we say al-raqs al-kauli, or we say Kawiliya's dance, so it's the dance which belongs to the Kawiliya. Before answering the questions of the meaning of the Kawiliya word, I cannot explain it without going through the theories which explain the origin of the Kawiliya. So can I go through this theory first? Then through this, we can get the meaning of the Kawiliya. What do you think?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay. Of course, there is few theories about the Kawiliyas, and we are in Iraq, as I mentioned to my students many times, we call them the puzzle of Iraq, because none of these theories, they can really prove what they call or what they claimed or try to support about the origin of the Kawiliya. We have a lot of theories, really a lot of theories, because they are not really interested in this group of people. So we have the few theories we have about the Kawiliya. They believe they are of Indian origin. And there is only one theory from Dr. Fawzi Rashid. He's a professor at the university. He was a professor at the University of Baghdad because he's not living anymore. He has totally another theory from the majority of anthropologists, what they think of the Kaulia. So let us first go to the people or anthropologists who think Kaulia are come from Indians. One of these theories say they come from Afghanistan, from Kabul city. So people in Iraq call them Kabuli, the singular, or Kabuliye, from Kabul city. That's why with the time this changed to Kauliye. And the other theory, they said, because they have a long time ago a king, his name is Kaul, so they call themselves Kauliye to honor their kings. So all these theories go to this direction. They are from Indian origin. But Dr. Fawzi Rashid, he was totally different in his theory about the Kauliye. He believed that they are the native people of Iraq. They are living since in Babylonian and Sumerian time. And he tried to support his theory with the language of the a group in Iraq who's still living, the Mindaiyin. They are followers of Johannes or John, I think, in the Bible. I'm not really sure how they call them. And their language are still close to the Sumerian language. And he checked the word Kauliye in their language. And he found out it means friend. Because they are very friendly tribe, and still they were and still very friendly tribe. We never noticed any violence from these people in Iraq, even in the crazy time, through all the country we have a lot of violence. These people were totally neutral in Iraq. So he said these people was a tribe who make ritual dance to in Somer city, in Ishtar and Inanna temple. I really, as a dancer, I prefer this theory, to be honest, although it's not really proven, because when I look to the dance and when I read about the ritual of Ishtar and Inanna, there is a lot of similarities in the move and in the pictures. And in one of the temples, they found a picture of four women who are spinning their heads, and to spin the head, they want to make a ritual for the cloud, for heaven to move and rain come down. So it's really fascinating what he discovered, Dr. Fawzi Rashid. But nobody really supported or want to accept his theory. But I hope in the future I will follow this theory and try really to find his relative, maybe, and to talk more about his theory. So this is the meaning of the Kauliye, either from Kabul, Kabuliye, or from Kaul King in Indian, that's why Kauliye, or what Dr. Fawzi Rashid, Kauli mean friend, and Kauliye mean friend. So Kauli friend, singular, and Kauliye, the plural. Mm-hmm.
And I think, especially here in the United States, a lot of us think that the Middle East is very homogenous, that everybody is the same. And that's very much not true. Are there many cultural differences between the Kauliye and Arab Iraqis?
Well, these things really kept my mind busy for many years. I mean, if the theory, which really say that the Kauliyas are of Indian origin, how comes this group, all this culture and the culture of their ancestors are totally deleted? I mean, if you look to the Gypsies in Spain or Gypsy in Balkans, you can still follow some roots and you can still follow some traces to relate them to their origin. But believe me, the Kauliye people in Iraq, you can live with them many years and you will never discover if you are not knowing they are Kauliye, you will never know that they are Kauliye people. But what the difference? I go again to the theory of Dr. Fawzi Rashid. This tribe, if they are the ancestors of the tribe from Somer, their work at that time was this ritual dance. And as we know that prostitution at that time in the Babylonian and Sumerian time was holy. So these people, when it's hard to exist, their women, they can work as a prostitutes to support their family. And they are not thinking that their women, their sisters or wife are less value because they are doing this. And I think this is the difference between the mentality of the conservative people in Iraq are the Kawiliya people. A Kawiliya man, he can see his wife or his daughter dancing and he can play music for her. While an Iraqi man, he cannot accept this. He cannot accept to see his wife or his sister dancing and he's playing music for her. So this is the thing, this is the main things maybe, or the reason of the rejection for the Iraqi society for this tribe. Well, it's really a bit confused because I a big confusion because I read once in an Arabic article, one of the anthropologists mentioned that when he met the Kawliya, they still have just little words of their origin language, very little. So again, this opens another question, why they have still some words. My feeling as Iraqi, it could be that really the Gypsies who come from India, they mix with this tribe in Iraq because this tribe was practicing singing and dancing and the Gypsy have this when they come and maybe they support each other or they mix with each other. This is just a theory from side. That's why this big confusion about the Kawliya people in Iraq. But believe me, I met people in Basra city, Kawliya. If they will not tell you that they are Kawliya, you will never see this on them.
Mm-hmm. And what is their social status in Iraq? Are they? You've mentioned that there is some rejection.
Yeah. Well, this is a very sad story, and I mean, it's not only for the Kawliya in Iraq, the Gypsies in Iraq. It's the story of the Gypsy around all over the world. People just need to feel superior upon somebody. And the Kawliya is really the weakest minority in Iraq, and people look at them really down, and they are discriminated. And as you know, now the situation in Iraq and just a few years ago is really crazy situation, lot of violence and lot of chaos in the whole country. And I mean, for other part or other minority of Iraq, the situation gets better. But I'm really sorry and sad to say this, but for the Kawliya, it always went from bad to worse. So they are rejected, they are isolated from the rest of the country, there is no school, there is no drinkable water. I try really to make connection, I mean, with the ICRC, the Red Cross, the International Committee of Red Cross in Iraq, in Geneva, here in Switzerland, and they said, unfortunately, it's very difficult to get in to their village because they are really isolated and it's very dangerous to make any connection with them. So the problem is not only that people look at them as a low class, the problem that they are really starving and that they have not the human way to live. I mean, the condition of their living is really very poor and very sad.
Mm-hmm. And has this been true for a long time or is that a recent change?
Well, to be honest, I mean, in the time of the Saddam Hussein regime, it was their golden time because he gave them the chance to get the Iraqi national citizenship. The citizenship, they can have their ID card, they can join schools. And by the way, the National Theater of Iraq, they were full of Kawliya's artists and musicians. So it was their golden time during the time of regime of Saddam Hussein regime. So it was not like this when he was on power. They were protected. And this was positive and negative. It's positive for them because they have somebody who protect them, and negative because people consider them as a supporters when the regime was collapsed. People, especially the fanatics, Muslims, they think they are the supporters of Saddam Hussein and they should be punished for this. Because during his fire, his fest and his festivals, he invited the Kawliya's dancers and musicians for his palace and his sons, his two sons, they were getting them to their parties and the high-ranking people as well. So this makes the gap more deeper, I mean, between the people in Iraq and the Kawliya. So Yeah, it's really when things break down in the whole country, it started the situation for them to be really worse.
That's very sad.
Yeah, really. Because, I mean, even if these people go to the parties of Saddam Hussein and his son or his higher-ranking people, they were powerful people. Nobody can say no to them. I mean, we know many, many stories about this. And, I mean, if Uday Saddam Hussein want to take any beautiful girl from the street, he just can took it because they were so powerful. So, and Kawiliya, they were a minority and they were just want to exist peacefully. So I think they were very, very easy target for these powerful people.
Mm-hmm. And then they were punished even though they couldn't say
exactly,
no.
Exactly, exactly. They can't say no. They can't decide for, I mean, really, till now they cannot decide. And most of artists, they deny till today their origin, I mean, their identity as Kawiliya.
But let's talk a little bit about the dance itself. Is this a dance that's mostly done socially with your friends or your family, or as a performance dance, or both?
It's in fact both, because as I mentioned before, the Kawliya people, they have the Iraqi tradition. So I can imagine that these Kawliya families, when they have their own parties or their own personal occasion, women are dance together or family come together and dance together. And it's at the same time very important. Kawliya are very important for Iraq, for their parties and for their special occasion.
And in what context is the dance done?
Well, you know, as I mentioned, Iraq is a very conservative society. If you need a dancer, you have to look to go to the Kawliya village to get a dancer. So really, especially in Basra city, there is no weddings, no birthday parties or any other occasion without having Kawliya's dancers. So they are always present and existing in our joyful time, in the time where people need somebody to dance. So they are number one. They always, you have to take Kawliya. So me as a dancer, I saw as a child through the job of my mother when she bring the dress to the bride or when she applying the makeup in the henna night. There was always Kawliya dancers, I mean, in Iraq. But now the situation is really changed for them a lot, because the taste is changed and the whole situation, social and political and even religious, are all now go to the extreme direction.
Mm-hmm. And is there any tradition of the dance being performed on stages or in theaters, or is it mostly in party settings?
Well, again, we come to the same point of discrimination and looking at this dance as really a low class dances. A real beautiful Kawliya dance you can only see in the countryside of Iraq. If Kawliya dancer go on stage or join video clips, they have really to hold back the move. They have to wear modern dresses. They have to pretend to make Rakhsharki rather than Iraqi dance. Or nowadays, of course, they want mer head spinning, mer head tossing, and more sexy wear and dresses for the video clip. So, that's why it's very seldom to see a real good Kawliya dance on a stage. The whole country, we have a lot of Kawliya, and there is only one piece of Malayin, a very famous Iraqi dancer, in one play, where I can see her dancing beautiful Kawliya. But otherwise, they always try to hold back the moves when they are in videos, clips. And as theater performance, I mean, if I were in Iraq, I would never have a chance really to practice the Kawliya dance and go on stage, because people look at it as very low class dance. Mm-hmm. And this, in fact, very dangerous for the dance, because the dance is dying in Iraq, because nobody nobody really take care of this culture and this dance.
And is it related to other Iraqi dances, or is it unique to the Kawliya?
Well, there is something very important to know about the Kawliya. The Kawliya, for me, even if maybe some Iraqi will don't like to hear it, they are really the essential part of Iraqi hearts, really. Because these people, they preserve the culture and the traditional dance of Iraq. When they go to the south, they took move from the Hecha dance. And when they go to the west, to Ramadi city, they get some Chobi dance. And when they go to Baghdad city, to the capital of Iraq, they take some Bezig. So they really take all this authentic element of Iraqi dance. So it's their dance, in fact, are a mix of all Iraqi dance, to be honest. So it is the heart of Iraqi dance. It is the whole picture of Iraqi dances, in fact. And I know people or Iraqi people maybe will not agree with me about this, but this is a fact. And this is the nature of the Kawliyas people when they travel in Iraq. I mean, when they go to Basra, they know that people love the Hecha dance. Or Radah. So they know what the people like when they try to make this dance. And still, when they go to Ramadi city and make the Chobi, they still show them the Hecha and the Radah and the Bezig. So they are just like a living TV, you know, who travel around the different parts of Iraq.
Mm-hmm. And are there different styles of Kawliya dance, or could it be considered one style?
I consider it as a dancer as one style. There is no different styles, but they are, as I mentioned before, they put the different styles of Iraqi dance in their own styles. The Kawliya dancers are very natural dancers. They don't care. Are we doing now Chobi moves? Are we doing now only Hecha move? Are we do only Samri move or Khaliji move? What's important for this dancer is the joy is the first things very important, that people, when they watch them dancing, they feel, they can see that the people are happy with them and happy with their dances. So I think we can just express it like this, that the Kawliya dance included different styles of Iraqi dances.
And what are some of the common features of the dance? Are there certain movements or aesthetics or feelings that are more common than others?
Well, as I mentioned before, that the roots of this dance goes back to Ishtar and Inanna rituals, dances. So first of all, the connection to the earth is an essential, very essential and important element in this dance. You always have to feel really the earth under your ground. And this is the explanation of all this jumps and hitting the ground, because it's very ancient move. So first of all, this feeling to be really connected with the earth. And second, the Kawliya dance are not like the Rakshaki dance, because we work with a lot of isolation technique. They are, the energy in this dance are fluid. All head and foot and upper part are connected together, and they go all together to the direction of the ground. So this dance is very fluid. There is no tense when you dance it. And the posture, the whole posture, that the upper part little bit bent to the ground because of this holy connection between the dancer and the earth. So this is the main or the essential elements of the dance.
Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of us who have seen YouTube clips often see dancers working with a dagger. Is that common?
Yes, in the Kawliya dance, it's very common. Dagger's dance is, as I mentioned before, that the Kawliya, through their traveling, they pick elements from Iraqi dance different styles, and they incorporated them and integrated them to their own style. So dagger dance is, we call it in Iraq, al-hasja dance. And al-hasja is in fact a rhythm, belong to the Iraqi rhythm. And it's a national dance where men, in fact, they dance with daggers to show how powerful and how strong a tribe is. And the Iraqi national troops, they adopted this element from this traditional dances, and they showed on theaters and in their tours. That's why they are more famous than the Kawliya dance. But the Kawliya dancers are the ones really who were pioneers in presenting the daggers dance. And if daggers have meaning in dance, it's all about the proud and showing power for the tribe when the men dance it. And I think when I watch Kawliya dancing the daggers, I can see some anger and some sadness. And I think they want to express the rejection and the discrimination of the society for them. And as we know, the Iraqi song as well are very sad, always ending not really with a happy end. Normally the daggers, the Kawliya dances with the hacha rhythm. And sometime nowadays we can see dancer dancing the daggers to different rhythms. So it's not like before. Before they are really very keen to dance the daggers with the hacha rhythm.
Now you mentioned men dancing. Are there many Kawliya professional performers who are men, or is it mostly women?
The first dancer I saw in my life when I was a child was a man, was a Kawliya man. Really, this is a story I will never forget him. Till now, his face, the way he put the makeup, because he put women clothes and he put makeup. But everybody, you know, in the party, in this wedding, they know that he's a man. So he was awesome. I mean, they can really dance very beautiful. But the main dancer, when the Kawliya family come to a performance, they are the women who dance, and the relative males are playing the music and singing. But I saw this man dancing, and it was my first really time when I was a child seeing a Kawliya male dancer. And of course, maybe they dance among themselves, but you know, in a conservative society like Iraq, I think it's a must that women dancing in parties and in weddings.
And I know another thing that we often see in video clips are dancers moving their hair. Is that an important part of the dance, or just the one that we notice?
It's very important part. And the head spinning, we have in Iraqi dance different type of head spinning, and it's not only one type of head spinning. And it's not about really sensation to make the audience screaming about in the dance, because as I mentioned, that these four women in the temple of in the Babylonian time who spin their hair to talk to the clouds. I mean, it's part of the ritual that they ask the cloud to come in and the rain to come. It's a dance for the rain. So it has really stories. It's a lot of secrets behind this head and hair spinning. So it's not about being very quick and about being very crazy in doing it. And in Iraqi dance, really, you have to be careful with this technique, and you have to learn the basic and the different part of head spinning and why people are doing it.
And can you tell us about the music that's used for this dance?
You mean for the Kawliya dance?
That's right.
Well, I mentioned as well for my students in my workshop that, because they always ask me, oh, Asala, where can we find beautiful Kawliya's music? And I tell them, there is no Qawliyat music, and they just look at me very surprised. What? No Qawliyat music? I said, no, because they play and sing Iraqi music. All the songs and the music that the Qawliyat plays are Iraqi music, because they don't have their own written language, and they don't have their own music that they bring them from their old culture. It's the Iraqi music. And it's very, it's lately I heard an interview with a very famous countryside singer. His name is Yunus Al-Ibadi. And I mean, when Iraqi will hear me, everybody will know who is Yunus Al-Ibadi. He's a very famous Iraqi countryside singer. They asked him in the interview, where you learn all this kind of mawals and all this different part of Iraqi singing? And he said in his interview, well, when I was a child, I was joining the Qawliyas in their traveling and in their parties or weddings when they were making the countryside. So a very famous Iraqi singer, he learned from the Qawliya, the Iraqi heritage. So that's why I ask myself all the time, they know really the smallest and the finest details of the Iraqi culture in music and singing that Iraqi themselves don't know about it. So if we talk about the Qawliya music, we talk about Iraqi music. There's no different types, there's no different parts. But if we say Qawliya music, if we take a song, for example, maybe I will explain it this way. If we take one song, we give this song to Sajda Obeid, the Iraqi gypsy queen, and we give the same song for any other Iraqi singer. Sajda Obeid will sing it totally different. The spirit, the way of singing, the use of the khishba, the rhythm, the joy, I mean, it's totally different when Qawliya sings and play Iraqi music. So this make it give it a special flavor, but it's still the Iraqi music. Well, while we are talking about Sajda Obeid, I have to mention that this gypsy queen, I'm so happy to announce, will come to Switzerland. It's the first time Sajda Obeid coming to Europe. And we will make a tour with her, and this will be in November in Switzerland. And I will be very happy if Dansa will join this occasion, because it's very unique to have her, really a real gypsy singer in Europe for more than one concert.
Mm-hmm. And are there any other musicians that you recommend that we become familiar with?
Well, as I mentioned, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to know which singer is really Qawliya, because the problem, they deny their origin. I mean, for example, now while we are arranging for the Gypsy Festival in November this year with the manager of Sajda Obeid, and I go to this theme about the Gypsy, and he said, no, we are not Gypsy. So, I mean, everybody in Iraq know this fact, and we love this woman. I mean, really, not a single family in Iraq, they don't listen to her song and her music. And still, it's very difficult for her or for her family to admit that they are Qawliyat people. So, I can give you some name of singers that really have this spirit when they sing Iraqi music. I mean the Gypsy spirit or the Qawliya spirit. Like we have really a lot. Hussam al-Rassam, for example, he's really brilliant when he sings. And Ala Saad as well. And Basim al-Ali as well. And Rana Waleed. So by the way, we have Raqs al-Qawliya page in at the Facebook, and they have a lot of information. Maybe now it's difficult for listener to really recognize the name, but we have in this page a lot of information about the Qawliya. It's Raqs al-Qawliya page in Facebook with a lot of information about the dance and about the culture and the music and all these names which might be important for dancers who really love the Qawliya dance.
Wonderful. I'll put a link to that group in the show notes. so that people can get to that page directly.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. And are there certain songs that are more often used for dancing than others?
I mean, the songs of Sajabeid and the song from the singer from the countryside, they have the spirit of the Kauliyas. And I posted a lot of clips of these famous songs in this page that the dancer can get to know these songs. And yeah, maybe it's useful if they can pay a visit to this page and they can find out about these songs.
Absolutely. And are there two or three that you can mention now so people can look for them before they get to the page?
Okay, I will try. I will try because it's Arabic. For example, I will take one song for Basim Al-Ali and Sajid Abed, and it's Min Khala, Khala. And Khala is means in English, my aunt, somebody who really explained to his aunt how love is really torturing him. And for example, very common song, and many dancers, they love to dance this, is Tufaha, the apple, the beautiful apple, as well Sajab, I sing it, and Ala, as well Ala, sing it, Tufaha. And Khala, these are very, very common songs. And for example, from Hussam al-Rassam, Yal Afitni, the one who left me, Yal Afitni, Yal Afitni. So I used to post the name of the song in this page in Arabic, so people can find it easily. Yal Afitni from Hussam al-Rassam. Or Tayra, Tayra from Hussam al-Rassam. We have a lot of beautiful rhythm in this song. And what else? I mean, really, a lot of songs, they have this style of Kauliya.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And again, everybody who is listening, you should check out the Facebook group that will be linked from the show notes so you can get direct links to examples and more information. Right, and when the Kauliya are performing, what kind of costuming do they wear?
Well, this is a very important point, the costume for the Kauliya. In one of the interview of Basim Al-Ali, is a very famous singer, I mentioned his Khala song, they really accused him in a negative way. I mean, accusation is a negative, or criticize him why he's using Kauliyas in dancer in his song, in his video clip. Then his answer, he was not speaking about their skill in dancing. He speak, why not? They are wearing very modern dresses, very beautiful dresses. So behind this small sentences is a whole story. These people have to hide any sign of their culture or of their traditional way of dressing. So normally when they go to the countryside, they wear the traditional dresses of Iraq, the galabiyas. But when they combine famous singers like Basim Al-Ali another singer, I really forget his name. He as well used some Kauliyas. They insist that these girls wearing these modern dresses, long dresses. And unfortunately, many dancers, they copy these dresses. I mean, these dancers wearing it to hide their origin, to show the Iraqi people and the Arab people who watch this video, they are not gypsies. But this is not the dresses for the Iraqi dance. It's just modern dress. I make as well a clip with lot of Iraqi dresses, traditional dresses, to inspire the dancers when they will make their dresses. And this as well in the page of Raqs al-Kauliya at Facebook.
Mm-hmm. That would be a very helpful thing, too. So I will include a link to that as well.
Yeah, I will send it to you, the link of this video.
And I understand that a lot of Western dancers are starting to create fusion dances based on Kaolia. Can you tell us about that?
Well, it's a fact. And now through all the social media, YouTube, I mean, and all other sources to get to know this this kind of dance. Of course, it's inspired all this dancer. It's a huge inspiration for them. And maybe they feel relief and free when they are dancing. And I see this development really positive. And it's beautiful and nice that the dance is dying in Iraq and it's flourishing in the other part of the world. But it's very important that these dancers will not depend totally on their own fusion and neglecting the character, the personality, the cultural background of the dance. I mean, it's not negative, even for very famous dancers, beautiful and talented dancers, to learn the basic, the clean, correct basic, especially the one who really teach. It's a responsibility. For me, teaching is really holy. You cannot really teach only fusion. You have to get this closeness to the culture, to dance with Iraqi peoples, to get a canal, to find out a canal to this culture, to get authentic move, and not to depend totally on your own fusion. Because I noticed lately that the dance is really going more and more far away from its origin, from its source. It's now always about being more extreme in jumping on the stage, being more extreme in tossing the heads and in making all this back bending on the stage, and making moves that I never seen in Iraqi dance, and it's very strange for us Iraqis to see this move. I mean, it's legitimate and it's normal that people fill the gap if they are missing technique to take from their own dances, but still it should be kind of interest, you know, and that these dancers are really keen to get more information and to get more authentic move of the dance they are teaching, especially teachers. I mean, they have really, they have big responsibilities.
Mm-hmm. And how can we as outsiders participate in the dance in a way that is respectful and responsible? Or to ask another question, how can we get information about what the traditional dance is or is not?
I think for me, when I doing authentic Egyptian dance, I can speak about me, how I look at the thing. First of all, respect. I respected the simple people who practice this dance. I respected the Egyptian teacher who teach this dance and looking at them as a confidential source and never work against them and really try to cooperate with them and to take the move. I think respect to the culture and people who are representing this culture is for me very important. Secondly, I think to get the information, of course, now with the situation of Iraq, the political situation of Iraq is difficult. But believe me, I know as well other dancers who really work hard and use each possibility they can find to make contact with Iraqi people, or when they see Iraqi musician, they try to ask them to get real information, to ask about the music, about the song, about what this mean and what that mean. So it's not only dancers who really make their own fusion. I really met a lot of dancers who so keen and with such a big passion and honest passion. They want to learn this style in the right way and to have the correct and clean background for them. It's fascinating me. And these dancers are exactly the people who give me the push, you know, to search, to work hard on myself as well. Try to tell myself, okay, Asala, you keep your own fusion now aside. And my responsibility is to give these people clean and clear, authentic moves so they can really be inspired. And these dancers are a source of inspiration for me as well. I love them, and it's touched me a lot the way they love Iraq and the way they love the music and the people of Iraq.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that is special about this time right now is that we have things like YouTube that help us find so much information and so many examples. Mm-hmm. But the problem with that is that it can be very hard to tell what we're looking at when we watch a video clip. So if we're looking at a video that says it's Khaulia dance, how can we tell whether we're watching a traditional dance or a fusion or one of these modern music videos?
Well, for dancer, experienced dancer, I think it's not difficult, because experienced dancer, they know what's the concept of the Iraqi dance. No isolation, no ballet move. So they can recognize, oh, okay, this is a fusion dance. And if they see that there is no isolation in the move and the dancer is really grounded and this connection to the earth is very clear and no exaggeration in this head spinning and hair tossing and head spinning, then they can really know it's Iraqi. Of course, due to this commercial video clips, it's very difficult for us to find beautiful quality of Khaulia dance. Because these people who make or produce these video clips, it's very important for them as well, sensation, that these girls look sexy, look beautiful, and dance or art is not something that they are interested. But I posted, and the people who joined this group posted all the time the good quality. When we see a good quality in YouTube, then we post it right away in this group so we can share experience and we can share information among us. So, yeah, for experienced dancer, it's not difficult. But for beginners, maybe they cannot really recognize the difference. But I think, and I mentioned this in the group as well, each fascinating and each new passion for this dance is a win for the dance. I mean, and for the case of the Khaulias in Iraq.
Mm-hmm. And is there anything that I didn't ask you about today that you would like my listeners to know?
Well, I think what's important that we know that this beautiful dance we enjoy and we perform on the stage, it belongs to people who suffer in Iraq. And we should really think about them while we are dancing. And when we find something, that a way that we can help, I hope that we can cooperate together to help these people. And gypsies in Iraq or the Khaulia in Iraq is not only about romantic and beauty and dance, it's people who suffer and who have no rights. And I have to mention something, it's not only because of the whole situation, but I think the Khaulia people are responsible as well, because till now, people who really have power, and we know that they are gypsy, and I hope they can defend and say something about the case of their people, they deny their origin. And I think with this, there will never be a change in the situation of the Khaulia.
Mm-hmm. And is there any way that we can help that you know of?
Well, I really have the hope with the humanitarian organization that we contact them, that we attract them, and awareness is very important as well. I think the problem, the real problem, is to find Iraqis, really, who we can win them for the case of the Khaulia in Iraq itself, because the change has to start there. That awareness, and believe me, maybe the way we are doing now, it's long. Now I use the word Khaulia for the dance. Although my Iraqi friends, they say, you are crazy. If you want to offend an Iraqi, you call him Khaulia and you use this word for your dance. I say, yes, because maybe I am a dreamer, but I want to use this word, and I don't know how many years it will take, that this word will take positive meaning, and maybe this positive meaning that we will have outside of Iraq will go back to Iraq. You never know. I mean, really, we never know how things can develop, and that's why I'm so happy that people are attracted by the Qawliyas dance and they want to practice it, because I'm looking really for, my goal is for later, how we can influence, you know, the meaning of this world with positive things, with beauty, with joy, and not to offend people. And really, really, if you want to offend an Iraqi, you just call him son of Qawliya.
Mm-hmm. And if people would like to learn more from you, how can they do that?
Well, I'm really very active dancer, and I'm very thankful for people who really see the quality of my work and supported me, and they want something really with depth and with understanding for their dances. So my next project is in a few days, is in Ahlan wa Sahlan Festival with Madame Rakia Hassan, and there will be a lot of masters in Ahlan wa Sahlan Festival. It will start 24 of July in Egypt. And we will have a project in Casablanca with the Nawara dancer. And this is end of August. We will go there, and I will teach for 1 week Qawliyas dance and Ashra Baladi. And then my beloved place, Mexico. It's like my second home. I will go to teach in Mexico City. And then will be a lot of a project in Sweden and in France. And don't forget, there will be a workshop with Rilke Williams, musician, in the Gypsy Festival. And we will start 10th of November in Switzerland. And in Zurich, 13th of November, there will be the workshop and the concert. And it's a very beautiful city to visit. And I mean, we will have the Gypsy Queen, Sajda Obeid, and there will be lots of space for everybody to dance on the theater.
Wonderful.
So people have to check my page on Facebook. I really am very active with my activity. I always update it in my Facebook page.
And if someone would like to bring you to their country, are you open to traveling to other places?
I think in my heart I am a gypsy. I feel bored. I miss airport if it's 1 month I'm staying at home. So it's really a joy for me to share my knowledge and my dance. And as I told you before, it's fascinating me extremely, this passion from the dancers. It's not only that I'm giving them, it's really amazing that I can take a lot of joy, a lot of inspiration, and a lot of knowledge as well, you know, from the dancer. I never look at these dancers, oh, they are only people who come and learn with me. And I just see them just like, you know, like one, that the love of the gypsy dance, of the Qawliya dance, just gathering us in one room, and we exchange knowledge, and we exchange this beautiful energy as well. And through the discussion and through this question, I will never grown up or stand to the point where I am standing now without these dancers. I mean, it will be impossible for me to develop myself and to have the motivation to search and to look for move and to present this dance, with lots of love, because I get a lot of love from the dancers as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful. So I'm going to open up the call for questions from our listeners. So if anybody is listening to the webcast, you can click on the little speech bubble on the right-hand side of your screen and type in your question. And if there's anyone who's on the phone or Skype, you can unmute yourself if you press **. So again, that's ** on your phone or ** on the Skype keypad. And it looks like Jennifer typed in a question. So she asks, she has several questions, so I'm going to deal with those separately. So she asks, are there any special colors to wear with costuming, or is there any significance with colors?
No, not really. Not really, but it's very bright color. I can tell you something, the Kauliyas, it's very important questions, in fact. The Kauliya, when they go to the countryside and people gather in a large place, of course, it's outside of their home. So the color of the dancer are very bright. So people who standing really far away, they can't see and notice the dancers. So this is the reason why this brightful colors of the Kauliya's traditional dresses. And the other part of her question? If they have any meaning.
Yes, do the colors have any meaning?
No, not really. It's just to make people attract the attention of the people when they are dancing.
Mm-hmm. She also asks, how far is too far with costuming? I see a lot of tight dresses, but in your video, the dresses were looser. Is it wrong to wear something tighter when you are not petite?
Well, as I mentioned before in our talk, that these tight dresses are a copy of the commercial video clips of this video song, of this Iraqi video song, because for the singers, it's very important to hide the identity of the gypsies dancer, of the Kauliyas dancer. So for me as a dancer, I feel more free when I can really use my freedom in the leg, you know, because it's very important to feel the earth, to travel. Traveling in the Iraqi dance is very important. And I always love it to feel that the fabric is dancing with me. So, and I always from the Iraqi traditional way of costumes. And when I design myself, I design all my costumes myself, I always try to get the inspiration from the traditional Iraqi costumes. And there is something as well for the theory who claim that they are from India. Sometimes I purchase fabric from India because of this feeling, to put still some Indian influences through the fabric in my costumes.
All right, Jennifer also asks, she says that many of the songs are usually about strife, but what if a happy song such as El Ab by Hussam El Rassam?
Most of the songs about?
The word that she used was strife, so sadness or pain difficulty.
Yeah, I mean, yes. It is like this, you know, I think why the Iraqi song have this sadness. Sadness in music or in song are very honest, and it show really pure of feeling. And I mean, Iraqi society is very conservative society, and it's not like here, you just fall in love, and then you can meet the person you are in love with, and you can go out with him. There, it's not the case. So the writer, the songwriter, they are expressing the feeling of these people who are longing to see these women, who are just waiting to see her go outside. And for sure, they cannot come together, maybe because she's from different tribe, or because he has not the social status that the woman has or the man has. So yes, unfortunately, it's like this. And don't forget that as well, you know, that the Mawwal in Iraq is really sad because it expresses not only love story, it expresses the story of the whole nation. I mean, all these wars, all this violence which took place in Iraq, these songwriters are trying to integrate it in their songs. But of course, there is as well very joyful songs. I mean, if we really Google in YouTube Hussam Rassam, we will find a lot of joyful song or Sajda Obeid. I mean, you can't sit when you hear the music of Sajda Obeid. This is her specialty. Even sad songs, she puts a lot of joy in them.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer also asks, what types of hip wraps or belts are acceptable?
Hip move, you mean?
What kind of costuming for the hips?
A hip scarf, yes. Oh, thank you very much for this question, because really I forget about this. It's very important, because this dance is coming from the ritual of Ishtar and Inanna. If we look to the pictures of the Ishtar and Inanna status in the temples in Iraq, she has really very bright hips. Her hips are not small. So hips are very important for the Iraqi dance. The dancers before, the traditional dancers, they always put hip scarf to emphasize this part of the body in the dance. So while the modern video clips of the song, they ignoring totally the hip scarf. They don't use it for the dance. We see now most of the dancers who copy this clip, they never use hip scarf, but hip scarf is very important, because Ishtar and Inanna, in all the way that they make their status, they put this very feminine hips for them, and in the dance the hips are very important in Iraqi dance. So I try as simple as possible. I really try always for my Iraqi dance to use very simple hip scarf to present and emphasize my hip while I'm dancing. I really cannot imagine myself dancing Iraqi dance without hip scarf.
And is that usually just fabric, or does it also have fringe or other decorations?
I mean, it's up to you. I use with fabric and some pearl, you know, and that's it. I think we should avoid things that cause a lot of noise, because the Iraqi dance has a lot of jumps, you know, and traveling on the stage, and this will really annoy maybe your music and the rhythm of your body. So when I come to a workshop, after 1 or 2 minutes, I ask my students, please take off all this noise in your hip scarf and using simple one.
Mm-hmm. All right. Jennifer also asks, some costumes look highly similar to thobes. Are they related, or is this a modern thing being done to use a thobe nashal?
Yes, the thobe. As we mentioned, that the Samri dance is, we have this in Basra, and the influences of the Samri dances from the Gulf countries. So some Kawiliya, yes, they use sometimes thobe. This hashmi, we call in Basra hashmi as well. They use the hashmi or the thobe while they were dancing or singing. So me personally, I am not preferring using this, because I want really to emphasize lot of moves in the dance, because the Iraqi dance is totally different. I mean, the Kawliya dance is different from the Khaliji dance. Maybe this is good for the Khaliji dance, but for the Iraqi, I inspired always myself from the traditional customs of Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is the end of the list of questions that Jennifer sent. Jennifer, if you'd like to ask more questions, you can go ahead and type those in. And if anybody else would like to ask a question, you can press ** to unmute yourself. Okay, I don't see anything coming in yet, but if anybody is still typing, we'll take your question when you're done. But in the meantime, thank you so much, Asala. That was so informative.
Thank you so much, Nadira, for being so patient, because of my traveling, we really cannot find the right time. But now, really, we do it, and I'm so happy that we could be together and have this interesting conversation. Thank you for your interesting questions. And I felt really brilliant with you.
My pleasure. That was worth waiting for. We do have one more question from Jennifer. She asks, are there any names for some Kawliya dance movements, or do you just watch and copy the movements and not worry about names?
Well, This is the things that important to mention. Kawliya dance, it's never really, nobody take care of the Kawliya's dance in Iraq to really analyze the moves and give them name. And that's why people just do the move, you know. But now I'm doing a project, and this will include in my online teaching project will come maybe. We are starting the project, and I'm really intending to put name to the move, and I want really to honor Ishtar and Inanna and the Sumerian culture and give some move, some names. So it will help us as well to remember the move and to honor as well this old culture.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again, Asala.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, everybody, for coming. This is the end of our call, but that doesn't mean that the conversation has to end. We have a private Facebook group just for Clubhouse members. I'll send you an email shortly with an invitation. And, of course, you should definitely go and join Asala's Facebook group about Kawliya dance. My email will also include a link to the call recording if you want to listen to this again. And I'll also include a survey to ask for your feedback. I run the Clubhouse, but it's really for all of us. So if there are some topics that you would like to hear about, some speakers you'd like to learn from, or any ways that I can improve this, just let me know. And in fact, Asala's recommendation came from another dancer, so that's how we got together. Our next call will be held in August, but I don't have the dates yet, so keep an eye on your email for the announcement. And the last thing that I want to say is that this is the come on in kind of clubhouse, not the no boys allowed kind. So if you know somebody else who would enjoy these programs, you can invite them to join us at bellydancegeek.com/clubhouse. And until next time, happy dancing. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much, Nadira. Happy dancing, everybody. Bye.
Thanks for listening. For more geektacular resources, check out bellydancegeek.com.